From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns concludes the first message in a series of studies in the book of Acts. In the course of these studies, we'll learn the secret of the spiritual power of the early church, the mighty operation of God the Holy Ghost. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Today's devotional is entitled One with Christ Jesus. The text is found in John chapter 14 and verse 19. The words of Christ himself, "Because I live, ye shall live also." Jesus has made the life of believers in him as certain as his own. As sure as the head lives, the members live also. If Jesus has not risen from the dead, then we are dead in our sins. But since he has risen, all believers are risen in him. His death has put away our transgressions and loosed the bonds which held us under the death sentence. His resurrection proves our justification. We are absolved, and mercy says, "The Lord hath put away thy sin, thou shalt not die." Jesus has made the life of his people as eternal as his own. How can they die as long as he lives, seeing they are one with him? Because he dieth no more, and death hath no more dominion over him, so they shall no more return to the graves of their old sins, but shall live unto the Lord in newness of life. O believer, when under great temptation thou fearest that thou shalt one day fall by the hand of the enemy, let this reassure thee. Thou shalt never lose thy spiritual life, for it is hid with Christ in God. Thou dost not doubt the immortality of thy Lord. Therefore, do not think that he will let thee die, since thou art one with him. The argument for thy life is his life, and of that thou canst have no fear. Wherefore, rest in the living Lord.
I cannot tell. Set his love upon the sons of men. Or why as shepherd he should seek the wanderers to bring them back, they know not how or when. Stays our sin and calms our lurking fear.
Among the great classics of Christian literature, A.W. Tozer's The Pursuit of God is remarkable for its impact on the lives of countless believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. The product of a lifelong passion for knowing God in an intimate, soul-refreshing relationship, this small volume exposes the roadblocks that keep us from fully knowing God, reveals our responsibility of the pursuit, and ultimately leads us into the very presence of God Himself. Some of the chapter titles include Following Hard After God, Restoring the Creator-Creature Relation, and The Sacrament of Living. As you read and study Tozer's penetrating insights, you will learn the meaning of Paul's words in Philippians 3, verse 10, that I may know Him. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer complete reprints of this timeless devotional help free of charge. For your copy of The Pursuit of God, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your free copy of The Pursuit of God, and we'll be glad to provide it. During this opening message in this series in the book of Acts, Dr. Cairns has been emphasizing that the theme of the book is the acts of the Holy Ghost through the apostles. What happened then was because of God's intervention, not man's schemes or gimmicks. The first message in this series is called The Doctrine, Devotion, and Deeds of the Early Church. Indeed, the apostles and their fellow workers placed great emphasis upon doctrine, so that the early church was established firmly on the fundamentals of biblical truth. Now, with the concluding portion of this opening message, here is Dr. Cairns.
The deity of the Holy Spirit, Acts chapter 5, verses 3 and 4, he is definitely God. And he is a divine person. The operation of the Holy Spirit again and again comes out in this book. In fact, if you read carefully the very first verses of the book, what does verse 1 say? Of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. In other words, what Luke is talking about is something that isn't yet completed. There is that part of the ministry of Christ which he began, something in his works and teaching, which have still to be carried on. Now, how are they to be carried on? The Lord Jesus himself said it. John chapter 14, verse 12. He that believeth in me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. How is the early church then to do greater works? John chapter 16, verses 7 and 12 and 13 tell you, I tell you the truth that is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Verse 12, I have yet many things to say unto you. These are the things that Jesus began to do and teach. But he had many other things to say to them, many other things to do through them. But he says, ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He's talking about the ministry of the person of the Holy Spirit. What he's talking about. Now, I believe the charismatics, so-called Pentecostals, have got it all wrong. They've fallen for a counterfeit. If everybody who was supposedly filled with the Holy Ghost in America was really filled with the Holy Ghost, this place would have been on fire for God and revival years and years ago. I mentioned last Wednesday or last Lord's Day, I forget which, that the charismatic people now say that there are 53% of people in America saved, born again. And an awful lot of those say that they're filled with the Holy Ghost. There's no idea. No idea. My friend, there is a real power from a real person for you, for me, and our lives for God. And what I'm pleading for today is that we get back to the real thing and we cry that God himself will fill us with his Spirit and use us for his everlasting glory. And those are the doctrines these people preached. If those doctrines are held dear and sealed to our hearts by the Holy Ghost, I believe that we shall see blessing. I really have little time to mention their devotion. The book opens with the disciples sitting at Jesus' feet. And I tell you, when the book opens like that, you can expect blessing. Pentecost is bound to follow, for they have been sitting at the feet of the risen Lord. My friend, give us a church here that has time to spend at the feet of the Savior. That devotion expressed itself so wonderfully in their great prayer meetings. You just go through the book and you'll see the emphasis that's on prayer. I was speaking last Sunday morning very briefly on our prayers in the Holy Ghost. The fervency of our prayers being fired by the Spirit of God. Well, here's the living example of that. After the ascension of Christ, what did the disciples do? They held a prayer meeting. Chapter 1, verse 14. When the day of Pentecost arrived, what were the disciples doing? They were having a prayer meeting. And Peter and John healed the man at the beautiful gate. What were they doing? They were going to pray. After the first bitter experience of persecution for preaching in the name of the Lord Jesus, what did the early church convene? They convened a prayer meeting. What happened? Acts 4:31. The place wherein they prayed was shaken. The whole of Jerusalem, and then the world with it. Then again, the apostles said they would give themselves to what? To the word and to prayer. When they started to appoint deacons to the church, what did they do? Look for the rich men? Look for the influential men? No, sir. They prayed. And they got God's men. When Stephen was dying in agony, and it's very easy to read this, that they stoned Stephen. But I want you just to try and understand what was happening. As that man was standing there, face to face with death, and the rocks were hurtling toward him and crashing upon his skull and every part of his body, and his whole frame was convulsed in agony, what did he do? He prayed. Visiting Samaria, Peter and John prayed that the believers would receive the Holy Ghost. As soon as Saul of Tarsus was saved, what do we read? Behold, he prayeth. Peter went to the place of prayer and he received the vision to go to Cornelius with the gospel. It was an answer to prayer that Cornelius was told to send for Peter, that he may hear words whereby he might be saved. When Peter was under sentence of death in Acts 12, what do we read? One of the most outstanding verses in the Bible. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. The whole church prayed. One of the very few occasions in history when the whole church prayed. This church has never prayed. Never in its history. Individual people have prayed, thank God. A nucleus of people will continue in prayer. There are souls, thank God, who would rather miss a meal than miss the prayer meeting. But never have we had the whole church to pray. We can't do it. There's not a church in America can do it. The early church, as a church, prayed. The ordination of Paul and Barnabas was accompanied with prayer and fasting. When Paul went to the mission field, came into Macedonia, he immediately went to the place where prayer was wont to be made. When he called the Ephesian elders, he kneeled down and he prayed. Now look, that's not accident. That's design. This book expresses the devotion of a people to God. You can't tell me that you love the Lord if you don't spend time in prayer. You can fool yourself as much as you like, but you're the only one you're fooling. If you're not spending time in prayer, you don't love the Lord. Not as you ought. And I'm going to go even further, and this might hurt. If it does, God bless it. Make it hurt even more. But where Christians can possibly be at the church time of intercession and they're not there, they've lost their first love. You remember when you were saved? Did you go to the prayer meeting? Ah, you did. Ah, you were at the prayer meeting then, all right. If there was a revival here next week, would you be at the prayer meeting? Certainly you would. I don't judge people's hearts. That's not my job. I have a hard enough time judging my own heart. My friend, where God's people can be out to pray and they are not, where they are negligent, the fire has just about burned out. There might be a lot of smoke, but smoke only burns the eyes out of people. It only causes an acrid stench. It doesn't do anything. It clouds the issue. Oh, for hearts that love the Lord in prayer. Their devotion was expressed in their unity. Acts 4 and 32. What unity? I haven't time to give you the references. You start at chapter 1, verse 14, and then chapter 2, verse 1, and follow right through the book, and notice how often it speaks of them being with one accord. These people never lost sight of their purpose. Their secret was they never just got to the place where they meandered. They didn't accidentally slip into evangelism, into missionary work, into outreach, into soul winning. They had a purpose. They had a real accord. It was a united purpose. Now, the devil sought to destroy that unity. First of all, as we'll see in later studies, by attacks from the outside. take away key men, took away Stephen, later took away James, tried to take away Peter, tried to destroy the unity. He could. Then he moved to the inside. And through Ananias and Sapphira, he tried to destroy it from the inside. And that's usually his most successful method. You know, one disgruntled, out of sorts, carnal Christian can do far more damage to any church than all the demons of hell yapping outside the door. One Christian, because inside he can sow discord, he can put a damper where there ought to be fire, he can divert people's attention from the real thing, he can start nitpicking and cause real trouble. That's how the devil tried to get into the early church. But they were too spiritual for him. The Lord was too much present for them. I just want to say this to you very seriously this morning. When God, we pray for revival, the Lord blesses and gives it, but half times we don't know what we're praying for. For Malachi asked the question, who shall abide the day of his coming? Who will abide it? Ananias and Sapphira, no doubt, were looking for blessing and revival, but they didn't know it was going to be the death of them. And I tell you, when God starts moving in revival, then if there are Christians who give themselves to be the devil's instruments to hinder the work of God, God will deal with them in a very serious and severe manner. That's exactly what he did with those people. My friend, let's be careful. Let's be realizing what we're praying for. We want this unity of purpose. We want to stay on the main line. We don't want to get sidetracked. We want to pray for a mighty outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Now, the devil is a substitute for everything. You and I can have a nice, quiet, unanimous church here. Dr. Paisley always says you'll never find any fights in a graveyard. The corpses lie side by side in absolute unanimity. That's not the kind of thing we're looking for. We're looking for that living, vital unity of the people of God. It's not to say we'll have uniformity. I mean, you'll never make me an American and I'll never make you an Osterman. That doesn't say you're any worse or any better than I am, or I'm any worse or any better than you are, but we're different. There are many other ways in which we'll all prove our differences. We're not going to be uniform. I'm not looking for people who have the wee stamp on them. It's only the Antichrist that gives the stamp and the mark of the beast. I'm not looking for that little stamp on people's foreheads that they are like machines and zombies. I'm looking for people who, whatever their own personal differences may be, are so sold out to the Lord, and they're so in love with the Lord, and they're so centered on the Lord, and they're so filled with the Holy Ghost, that every personal difference will be dropped, and that vital, powerful unity of the Holy Ghost will be our experience. And when you have that doctrine and that devotion, look, the deeds will follow. They follow. I have already said that the very name of the book is greatly controverted. I said I think the best name is the name, the Acts of the Holy Ghost through the Apostles. But I say this. The Bantu people, I don't know very much about them, mind you, but I do know this. They have come up with the most picturesque name of all. A lovely description of the book of Acts. And in their Bible, this book is called Words Concerning Deeds. Words concerning deeds. That's what it's all about. When the doctrine's right and the devotion's right, the deeds will follow. It's a book called the Acts. Now, this is not a book of theory, although many preachers make it that. This is not a book of the mechanics of the ministry, how to do this and how to do that. This is just a book that says they did it. It's a book about their obedience, their faith in Christ. It's a book about their allegiance, their love for Christ. It's a book about their outreach, their zeal for Christ. It's a book about action. Personal action. Didn't leave it to somebody else. Prayerful action. Everything backed home by prayer. Positive action. Carrying the work right to the strongholds of the devil. Doing battle with the devil with strongholds. persistent action that even the most bitter persecution could never bring to a halt. And thank God, powerful action owned by the Holy Ghost in all his fullness, bringing the desired results. Those are the acts that they did. God, give us that kind of action.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.